As president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Boyce College, it is my great honor to welcome you to this commencement ceremony. Some of you have come from very far, and some of you have waited very long. But here is this day, and here are these graduates, and here in this room is great, great joy. This is the time of the year when so many schools are experiencing and celebrating graduations and commencement. Last week, I had the honor of presenting a commencement address at one college, and next week at another, and then here for Boyce College and the seminary. Last week, when I was in Pennsylvania, I told the folks there that my favorite word about a commencement address is that from former Senator Robert Dole, who in delivering a commencement address said that he understood the role. He said that the role of the speaker at a commencement is analogous to the role of a corpse at a funeral. In his words, they can't do it without you, but no one expects you to say much. Well, I understand that. And that might apply to commencements in general, but this is a worship service. And when you look at these graduates and when you consider the meaning of this event, there are some things that must be said. I would invite you to turn with me, as you have your copy of the scriptures, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, where I will begin reading at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why this text at this time? An incredibly short text, and at the very heart of this text is a story that could be explicitly secular. Right in the heart of the story is a picture we can all understand, the picture of two different houses, of two different men who constructed those two different houses. And one constructed his house on the rock, and one constructed his house on the sand, and you can pretty much figure out the story from there. As we are told, the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew. The same rain, the same flood, the same winds. Two different houses, two different foundations, two different results. The house that was built on the rock, when the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew, it stayed. The house built on the sand, when the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew, it fell. And not only did it fall, but great was the fall of it. You know, here's what's kind of interesting just from a matter of reflecting human nature. No CNN cameras are going to be focused and continually repeating the picture of the house that stood. In one sense, that's not news. Dog bites man, that's not news. Man bites dog, that's news. House stands, not news. House falls, film at 11. That's the way it works. And in our viral digital media age, this would be viral, the falling of the house. Now, it tells us something. It actually tells us that Christians should understand that the fall of the house gets more attention than the standing of the house. And actually, Jesus even tells us in more amplification about the fall of the house, because we are told not only did it fall, but great was the fall of it. There's a lawsuit going on right now in the city of San Francisco. San Francisco has resisted having a lot of very tall residential towers because they wanted to preserve the skyline and the view. And San Francisco, being San Francisco, didn't want to look like other American cities. But because land is very short in San Francisco, they started allowing the building of very tall towers. Recently, a very tall tower was built with extremely expensive apartments in an extremely expensive city, and we're talking tens of millions of dollars of these apartments, when some of the people at the upper floor started noticing something interesting. Their chandeliers didn't hang straight. That's a bit disconcerting on the 40th floor. And you start to look at that chandelier and you think, wait just a minute, chandeliers always hang straight. It's the building that's not straight. Turns out that given the amount of moisture in the land under the tower and what they claim are shifting sands elsewhere, the tower is beginning to lean. It turns out it is hard to sleep well when you're in a very tall building and you know it's leaning. It turns out that it is hard to be comfortable when the hairline cracks begin to appear in the windows and you realize you who are inside could be outside quickly. But you look at that and you say, well, how can that happen in 2018? How can it be that given all of the sophistication, all the technology, all the engineering, all the soil sampling, all the experience of building tall buildings for virtually a century, how could it be that in 2018 in San Francisco, right there, kind of the capital city of the Silicon Valley, where human ingenuity is supposed to be at its best and human technology at its highest, how in the world could it happen that right there in San Francisco, the chandeliers don't hang straight on the upper floors? It's because when you build a house on the sand, nothing good is going to happen. Well, we've seen that parable lived out over and over again. And of course, as Jesus spoke these words, he was directing the attention of all those who would hear, but most importantly, his disciples, who were the primary audience to whom he was speaking. He was making it clear that there are two alternatives, and only two, the standing of the house or the falling of the house. And that became, for the disciples, a picture of their discipleship. This is the very portrait of our lives. Our lives either represent the house that stands on the rock, or our life and our testimony and our story will be of the house that was built on the sand and fell, and great was the fall of it. One of our temptations, of course, is to reduce every biblical text to a mere moralism. So we could simply say, okay, we get it. We are to live substantial lives anchored in something significant, and we are not to live our lives at the level of the superficial and the ever-changing and the fragile. We are to lean into strength and lean away from weakness. We are to plan well and build well, and we are to live well according to the standards of the world so that there would be no question that our house would stand and would not fall. Now, if you were to take this event and just pick it up and take it out of Alumni Chapel at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and set it down in a secular setting, and you set it down in that secular setting and you say you can only speak in secular terms, you could still tell this story without Jesus. You could still say, okay, graduates, build your lives on something solid, not on shifting sand. Build your lives on something that will last and not on something that will pass. Live substantial lives, not flimsy lives. Make your life count. Be found at the end standing and not having fallen. And in a secular context, that's not the worst message that a commencement speaker could deliver to graduates. Not the worst thing that could be said. But Jesus is not here offering architectural or engineering advice. He's not speaking as a moralist. The context here is explicitly Christian, and it is found in the opening words of verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. You see it again where Jesus then, in contrast, says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. So it turns out this really isn't about life planning. It turns out this isn't really about living in accord with any kind of secular wisdom. It's not really about trying to live a substantial life rather than an insubstantial, unsubstantial life. It's really about obedience to Christ. That's not conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom says, trust yourself, build your life, go do something significant. Make a big obituary. And Christ said, it all comes down to whether or not you hear my words and obey them. You hear these words of mine, not just words, you hear these words of mine. In John chapter 6, when some of the disciples begin to grumble and question this, and not the 12, but the larger group, some amongst them, as Jesus began to speak so specifically about the gospel, they demonstrated some awkwardness, and Jesus asks the 12, he says, do you also want to go away? And Peter, you know it's Peter, you already knew it would be Peter. Peter says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. The one who hears these words of mine and does them. The one who will not hear these words of mine, or even does hear these words of mine and does not do them. That's the contrast. So why this text on this day, on this occasion? Simply this. Everything, graduates, that you have experienced at Boyce College, every class, every assignment, every semester and every term, has been invested in helping you to hear the words of Jesus and do them. Now, that's the assignment for every believer, for every one of Christ's disciples, for all of our lives. But the only real reason that you should have, and you did, spend these years in study is not just so that you could have some kind of job that you otherwise wouldn't have. That's not unimportant. It's just not the point. It's not so that you can be equipped to do something you otherwise couldn't do and wouldn't be equipped to do. That's important. It's not really beside the point entirely. But the entire point, the central point, is in order that those who would come to Boyce College and graduate from this school will be those who more clearly heard these words of Christ and do them. So our exhortation to you, my charge as president and representing and giving voice to all those who have built a school and a faculty and a curriculum and all those who financially, generously have made this possible, Southern Baptists through churches, donors through their gifts, to all those and on behalf of all of those who have invested so much hope in these graduates and in this day. We would include in those the parents who are in this room, the family members who are in this room. We would include in that the pastors of churches who invested in these graduates and taught them for years. What we have in this room in so many cases is a beautiful picture of what it means for parents to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and for churches to preach and teach, pastors by their preaching and teaching to have confidence that the Word of God conforms believers to the image of Christ. And then what's here is the confidence of a school that it really does make a difference when an institution is unquestionably based upon and unhesitantly teaches that faith once for all delivered to the saints. All of this comes together in the one great hope that you and through you others will hear the words of Jesus and do them. Oddly enough, an awful lot is resting on you, and some of it you don't feel yet. A part of what's resting on you is the reputation of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A part of what is resting on you is the degree to which people will look to you and see Christ. A part of the big question over all of our lives is whether a world watching us would want to know whom we know and know the gospel of the salvation that has transformed our lives, would want to know Jesus because they know us. Some of you will go to preach and teach and preach the word faithfully. Some of you will go to serve in various different applications of ministry, serve proudly and long and faithfully. Some of you will be going to teach in schools, public and private, Christian and secular. We pray that wherever you go and To whomever you teach, Christ will be made known through you as you teach with excellence. There'll be some going into business, and the Bible makes clear that God made us in order to do things, and that God's glory is also in applying energy and expertise to the doing of things that need to be done for the building up of a community. May you do so to God's glory. May throughout the next decades to come, you live lives exemplary in character. May you know the joy that comes from a life of following Christ. May you know the joy that comes in your own marriages and in your own children and in your own families where Christ is known and his glory is shown. May you be active churchmen and churchwomen involved in the life of the church so that your identity cannot be known apart from Christ, nor apart from Christ's church. What may surprise you is that the words I spoke when you came and I welcomed you feel more poignant to us now than at any other point in our academic lives. Commencement's more emotional than any other moment in the life of an academic institution. The reason is quite simple. Teaching requires love. As you often hear me say, Augustine made clear three loves. First of all, the love of God. Second, the love of the subject matter being taught. And third, the love of students. More than anything else, what explains why these students are here is love. The love of those who sent them, the love of learning that brought them, the love of faculty who taught them, the love they have known amongst each other, and the love of Christ that calls them now wherever he sends, they'll go. The engineering lesson you can figure out for yourself. It's quite simple in just a few verses. Your life is going to be represented by one of these two houses, by God's grace and to his glory. Let it be the house that stands and not the house that falls. The house that stands will be to God's glory and a testimony to what it means to base your life in truth, obey the truth, and live unto Christ. The fall of the house is very great. And it brings shame and reproach upon the church. And the lesson is clear. We hope and pray that every moment you have spent at Boyce College is a life that has assisted you, a moment that has assisted you, a lesson that has assisted you to build your house upon the rock. May it be to Christ's glory and to your joy. Amen.